Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Father, today we're going to do discipleship, and the title I've given this message is Discipleship 101. Because, Lord, we're going to look back at the very basics, the foundation of where it all got started. And, Lord, it's not for the fact of putting someone in elementary school and defaming the fact that they've had some walk with Jesus, but, Lord, there's some elementary principles we need to rehearse. And we need to understand the fact of what it is to find Jesus and what it is to get to know him and what it is to be invited to see what he's all about. So I pray in these next few moments together that you would help us, Lord God, to look into your word and to look into our experiences and to find you in a new and a refreshing way. Lord, before this service closes, somebody in here needs to know Jesus. Somebody in here needs to give their life totally over to you. And Lord, help us never to escape that particular opportunity to make him available to all who are seeking him. We give you all glory. We give you all honor and praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It's very interesting. For various services, I write out my own little introduction of what it's going to be. I have to change it a little bit because yesterday was an experience I wasn't really looking that was going to happen. I was in my office around 11 o'clock, and I heard this noise out in the street. And it was a whole group of people. A whole group of folks, and there was a march going down the street, and it was called, and I don't even know to this day what it was all about, because remember, I was on the media blackout this week, so I didn't look at the news, so you probably know more than I do. But I was kind of talking to the person there, but these people, just streams of people, kept going down the street. Then I heard this thing, Black Lives Matter, and this type of thing, and I'm thinking, what is going on? But row after row after row after row after row after row of people were following these people up here. And I'll find out all this information today when my news media thing is over with. Whatever it is over with. You see, I'm really oriented well today. But the thing that really caught my attention, you had all these people. Some of them had banners, some of them didn't. But I'll tell you one thing. I know some people were there. They were just along for the ride. Some of them don't even know the issues that are on the table. But they were thrust into the frenzy, or they maybe got something over social media, or they may have had a friend call me, we're going to have this march and this for this social justice. And I want to tell you some things that will help you in starting our conversation today. You know what? We've added words to try to define what God already knows about. When you add social to justice, you've taken it out of God's hands and put it in yours. That's right. And so the thing about it is, they're looking for social justice. And I'm not saying there aren't inequalities in the world. Yes, there are. But if you think you can solve it with a march, you are kidding yourself. The first thing you got to do is you got to get yourself right with the one who created everything. And then you'll be able to speak into the things that really, honestly, truly. I'm not against folks like this, but I want to tell you, if you really want to find the real answer, seek Jesus. He knows everything about everything and everything about everybody. So that being the case, you know, it's kind of interesting. Greg Laurie, who's an evangelist down in Southern California, he does these evangelistic crusades all the time. And I wrote down two things that he said, because it really caught my attention. He said this. He says, Greg Laurie, he says, there are two reasons why people do not go to church. Reason number one. Because they don't know a Christian. Reason number two, because they do know a Christian. I know I set you up for that. Oh, honey. And that's really how it is. Somebody's waiting for you to tell it. But really, somebody's waiting for you to model it so they'll know what one really looks like. Because if we stay in the state that we're in, nobody will find Jesus. Well, I think I set you up pretty good. So I'll give you my little questions for today. Here we go. Our main purpose in life, whether you like it or not, is to lead people to Jesus. So wait a minute. God wants me to be a good citizen, wants me to be a good person, and wants me to do good at my job, this type of thing. you know what? You can be the best person on your job. You can be a stellar person who's never late for work and have impeccable integrity as far as that's concerned. But if you aren't able to tell someone about Jesus, you're doing it all for you and for nobody else. And that's not why you're here. I know you wish you'd stayed home. Too late. Number two, once we have led them to Jesus, we are to bring them to maturity. That's just like, you know, having a baby and saying, well, hope it works out for you, and just kind of walk away. Oh, change you, help you, feed you, whatever. I brought you here. Isn't that good enough? No. God has given us a commission. And we'll talk about the Great Commission in a few moments, but the thing that we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is doing something in this land today, and some of us don't understand it because we're so busy being mad at everything that's happening, we can't really see what God's up to. God will get our attention in any way he sees fit. And some of you are so disgusted and you're mad and you're upset as far as it's concerned, but I think you need to turn the focus back on yourself and say, what am I doing to make a difference that'll bring people to Jesus? Third thing is this, and then I'll move into the text a little bit. We all need, listen to me carefully, a new believer in our life to keep us grounded in our faith and purpose. Oh, this is going to hurt, but I don't care. How many new believers do you have in your life that you're able to pour into or at least show them the way to Jesus? Or are you just living this thing solo and doing it just for you? Ooh. I'm going to throw a statistic at you. 96%, and I've got all the statistics to prove it through Barna and all these other different folks, 96% of Christians will spend their whole life without leading one person or telling one person about Jesus. 96%. Only question I have to ask you, are you among the 96? Don't say nothing right now, just squirm. Is this a condemning message? I don't think so. Because in this particular text, it's an amazing text. It seems so simplistic, but at the same time, it's very, very profound. Well, let's start into it. It says, before you preach it, learn how to live it. Back into Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is what he says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me take that first little piece and just kind of exegete it for you. When the Lord says, go make disciples, he didn't necessarily say you got to set up your own little school and get your own little curriculum, this type of thing. But the way a disciple is made is there's an intention of you to pour into a particular individual for the purpose of them becoming all that Jesus wants them to be. And it may be on a limited basis of what you know, but when we make disciples, there's several ways. Someone told me this, more is caught than taught. And you will make disciples many times by the way you live, with the way you conduct your life, but the way you're intentional, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, and I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit talks to his people all the time. If you think the only time that Jesus talked to you was the day that you got saved and there was a witness in heaven, no, there's more to it than that. He will tell you. Oh, yes, he will. Call so-and-so. Of course, nowadays, I got to say, text so-and-so. God bless you, your fingers. But what he's saying is reach out to this particular person. And I want to tell you, and I want to tell me, I'm not smart enough to get those messages, but I will, I'll tell you what, I'm learning to be sensitive enough and obedient enough to respond to them. Because the devil will never tell you to call someone up or to text someone to encourage them. He will not do that. So if you're sitting at home or doing some particular thing and all of a sudden the impression comes to your mind for you to text or to call somebody and to give them an encouraging word, I want to tell you, yea, verily, that's Jesus. In the name of Jesus, begin to do the things that will bring people to maturity, because all you're doing is just adding a little bit more to their life that'll bring them into a relationship with Jesus that's insoluble or immovable. So those are just some things that will kind of get you started on this whole deal. Well, what we need to do is, you know, Christians are walking New Testaments. I think you pretty much know that. But being an example and making a proclamation work hand in hand. So he goes on to say, oh, my scripture went away. You can bring it back. I'm sorry. Okay. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Oh. So it's a deposit of what he's taught you, you share with someone else. You know, I would venture to say, and I went through the 60s and I was in a church. It was a great church. And we had an outreach as far as this, and we'd have meetings together and fellowship and all the things that we're doing today, only in a different fashion. But I'll tell you what, I think I've got notes and books and every type of thing, of notes that I took, one thing after another after another. I don't think I've processed a third of them, a half of them, very little of them. When you get information, it can be a source of transformation for someone else if you learn how to share it. So it says here, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So there's a transfer from you to someone else. You're not living your Christian life just for you. And he says, what I've commanded you. And he says, and here's the part I love. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're never, never, never alone. You're not an isolated island. You're not out there on a tangent of some sort of place where you cannot really have connection with other people. So the Great Commission is ignored and many times substitute for the church growth via people coming to church on their own. You know, flyers are great. People are better. Social media is great. People are better. There's something about the connection. When someone can look you in your eyes and they know that you're serious and they know that you love them and you're concerned about their destiny, that's what makes a difference. The love in your eyes can take a person who is about ready to end their life and put them in a place where they really want to live again. Well, there's a gap between what Jesus told us to do and what actually occurs, and that means operative word from the Lord is to go. Now, he does not specify how go is supposed to look. For you legalists, go doesn't mean going out with tracks and embarrassing yourself and confronting people. And you know something? You're absolutely right. But go doesn't mean sit. Go demands there's some sort of action. Hello? Am I talking to real people, right? Anybody confused about go? You played Monopoly. Go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not, you go to jail, completely jail. You only get your $200, right? But when you got that Monopoly card that says go, to advance to go and get 200 bucks, you are happy. There are benefits to going in the way that God wants us to go. But it's an active, operative word. Well, that means our going is with the understanding that wherever we are prepared to share the gospel of Jesus. Now, this is a word that I think really gets people twisted. They feel like they need to be eloquently profound, exegetically perfect, homiletically, all these different words they use to tell you, just preach the gospel. That's not it. Be willing to speak on Jesus' behalf. You don't have to tell my story. Tell them yours. Just tell them yours. And partially, you don't have to unpack the whole thing. But the Holy Spirit is an amazing prompter to tell you how to do this thing. It's pretty incredible. Well, I got to advance rather quickly because there's a couple of places we need to make it to. Here's a point that some of you will probably be glad I'm going to say this. He will not force us to share our faith, but will rather prompt us. I need to define that prompting. I defined it a little bit, but here's this. Sharing Jesus will occur in everyday conversation. There will be some conversation, pretty much, I can almost guarantee you, throughout your day, where it's not the fact that you insert Jesus, because you love him so much, you can't help but bring him up. It's like somebody's thinking, let's see, now how can I squeeze Jesus in this conversation? Don't get so analytical. See, I know there's got to be an opening here. And you, Jesus, show me where it is. Just show me where it is. Oh, God. Oh, please, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Take another sip of coffee, dude. Your mind will come back. The most important thing is that you're willing. I missed an incredible opportunity the other day. And it was right out these doors here at New Song. There's a young gentleman that came to the door, and I was on my way somewhere, and I really was on my way to a destination someplace. Young fellow, probably in his early 20s, and he walks at me, he says, do you know a place where I can, you know, kind of get myself cleaned up? He said, I need to take a shower and do some other things. And it was no threat. He didn't have a grocery cart full of stuff and, you know, the things that really make us intimidated. Oh, get you a grocery cart, honey? You a bad boy. Jesus. And we'll walk on the other side of the street. When Granny got a cart and we're done. Okay. But this fellow, you know, wasn't threatening, wasn't carrying, you know, a backpack that I was suspect had knives in it, none of that. I'm just telling you my story. And so, as I said, I'm really sorry that I can't help you with that particular thing, but I'm on my way someplace as far as that's concerned. And then I got in my car, but here's the thing about it was, if I really wanted to, I could have adjusted those things. I won't be honest with you, I didn't do it. I'll be the first one to commit, I missed an opportunity. Because I have a key to the community center, we have a shower stall over there, I could have waited for him to get his shower as far as this particular is concerned, and if he got out of sorts, I could have wrestled him down, so I could have handled him. There's no threat. He this tall, I'm this big, honey, I can handle you. But I missed it. The reason why I'm sharing this story today is I don't want us to miss it. I don't want to miss another opportunity. Because over the community center, we've got a shower over there. We got a washing machine. We got a dryer over there. We've got extra towels over there. And I could have served them, but you know what? I didn't. And shame on me. Because I was too busy doing what I want to do. I want to help you. I want to help me. I want to help us with divine interruptions. I'm not saying every person that comes along you do that for. But you know, there's a difference when the Holy Spirit is doing some things that he wants to get a hold of us on a whole different level. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever miss an opportunity? Wave your hand at me. See what I mean? Thank you, Jesus. I've been validated. Only daily encounters with people will afford us the opportunity. The Holy Spirit will empower us to take a step of faith. Well, before we can share with people, we must care about them. When I rehearsed that whole situation later on, I sat down as I was repenting to Jesus, and I honestly and truly, I cried. I did. And somehow, if you think that shouldn't be, you've missed who Jesus is. Because there was a time he was sitting upon the precipice over Jerusalem, and they've given you pictures of it, and he's kind of got his head in his hands, and he says, oh, Jerusalem, he's sobbing. I would have gathered you as a chicken does her little chicks, but you wouldn't come. If you've allowed yourself to be so desensitized that you don't cry over some of the things that are happening in this world, something's happened to you, and you need to have a refreshing of the Holy Spirit that will let you feel compassion and love for people like you've never felt it before. Well, we cannot divorce ourselves from our emotions when it comes to sharing Jesus. And there is a place for righteous anger when it comes to sharing about Jesus too. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Let me flip the coin for you a little bit. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. It's okay to have righteous anger. Let me qualify righteous. Righteous is not judgmental. Let me tell you the difference. Judgmental anger is when you, when people are, that go against, you know, the very laws of God and all the various things that have been happening with abortion and same-sex marriage and this type of thing, and you just get on their face, and you know God's going to send you to hell, you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. I need to tell you something. Sinners sin. Until they know better, that's what they're going to do. You don't have to remind them how they sin or what they sin about, but you need to present them a Jesus that can deliver them from their sin. Don't get mad at them. You need to declare war on the devil of deception that has caused people to believe a lie. Because you will believe a lie until you accept the truth. The problem is we get some, and we get all righteous and this type of thing, and oh, they ought to do this and they ought to do that particular thing. Really? Do you know how crazy you were before you got saved? You were smoking pot till you were crazy. You drank till you fell out. And did all kinds of things where you were just out of your mind. But all along came somebody who told you the truth. It opened up the veil. And all of a sudden you saw yourself, for, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then somebody said, thanks be to Jesus, who's able to deliver you from all the deception and all of the lies and all the things that keep you from knowing who Jesus is. Somebody shout, come on. So stop warring on people and remember, but he says here, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw. In other words, when your spirit is provoked, that means you're ready to go to battle. And I mean, sometimes when you've talked to someone who's been deceived, you'll say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out every lying spirit. Every spirit of deception that's caused people to believe a lie. And you know, then you start living in the truth. But you know how you get people really into the kingdom of God? You love them. I dare you start loving some of these folks. I couldn't possibly get myself involved. That type of person. They're just so, their sin is so vile. So was yours. This is just a moment. I got a moment for the Spirit. We should be deeply troubled for those who have been deceived by the enemy and caught in the things of the world. Love must be our divine motivation for desiring to see disciples being made. Back in the 60s, we called ourselves God's Army. Isn't that unique? And we had army meetings Tuesday nights. In our army meetings, we'd have Bible drills. We'd learn how to, the scripture, this type of thing. We didn't do everything right, but I know one thing that we did. We learned the scriptures, and we were able to, the Bible says, be ready to give an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you to everyone who asks you. In other words, we don't study this Bible to beat people up. We study this Bible so we can give them an answer of the reason of the hope that lies within you. And so our answers say, but the Word of God says, but it's written in the Word of God. And Jesus says this, and you know what? That's the reason why we study the Word of God, not so we can debate with people. Are you kidding me? It's 1966 at Portland State University. They had a debate. It was called Christianity versus the Countercultures. I've told this story before, but I think it bears repeating. And the counterculture was this. There were those who were atheistic. And I need to tell you this. Atheism is a religion. It's a religion. Because in the same way that you cannot prove there's a God, they can't prove there isn't. It's a postulate. It's a theory. Well, I don't believe there's a God. And it all happened and two atoms clashed together and everything fell together. Do you know it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe in Jesus? Really? you can accept that, and then everything's winding down. Pretty soon it's going to dissolve into nothing. It's all going to explode again, and then it'll be nothing. Are you kidding me? Anyway. So they had this guy up there. He's ranting and raving, and all Christians are stupid, and this type of thing, and la da da da. Then I got that aggravated spirit, that meddling Holy Ghost spirit that says you need to say something. I had no script. I had no notes. I had nothing but Jesus. And the Lord had shared this with me several weeks before this, through one of our Bible studies. It's just a little simple postulate. I said, sir, we're debating. I said, how much of total world knowledge do you believe you know? 10%? 20? 30? 5? 2? He kind of said, what do you mean? I said, this is a simple answer. It'd be okay. I don't know whether he told me it was 7 or 10 or whatever it was, but he gave me an answer. Mistake. Because with 10%, I got 90 on it, okay? I said, so isn't it possible that God could exist and you don't know about it? You know what I did then? Walked off the stage. Yes, I did. I could bring some people here that were at that particular debate. It went silent, and then all of a sudden applause broke out. But I'd done my job. I wouldn't go back and say, thank you very much. I was gone, baby. Sugar, I'm gone. Gone, gone, gone. I delivered my message. I'm out of here. Because all you have to do sometimes is plant a seed in someone's life. And I know there are people that were probably at that particular debate that said, well, that one time when they saw someone or they heard something about Jesus, they said, you know, that guy that was up there that said that God could possibly exist in that 90%, you know, I'm feeling a little tugging and the inkling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly what it is, but something makes me want to believe that there's a God out there that can solve my problem, that can change my situation, that can make me a different person. And you know, that's all we have to do is be able to deliver something in Jesus' name. You say, I'm not an evangelist. I didn't ask you to be an evangelist. God bless you. You do a horrible job. Oh, I'm sorry. You probably would be substandard. But be a witness to what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. I'm just about done. I just have a few minutes left. But we cannot use our lack of comfort as an excuse for not sharing the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This scripture, if you're not writing down any scripture to hold on to, please hold on to this. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Note the word, always be ready to give a defense. Now that word defense doesn't mean you become defensive. It means give the other side of the argument. They can say, God doesn't exist. He says, well, maybe you, he does, but let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me share with you how he's changed my life. When I was hopelessly addicted to drugs, when I went through all these treatment programs, but somebody told me about Jesus and everything changed in my life. Anybody witnesses out there that happened to you, that he changed your whole situation? Well, defense to everyone who asked for a reason for here's the big word there, hope. Do you know that is what people want more than anything else right now? Because right now the world is spinning. The United States is spinning. We have no hope now. We're just so destroyed now. And the people just weeping and crying and you know, and protesting this type of thing. Our hope has been dashed on the rocks. We'll never get out of the situation. Yeah, go ahead and believe that from the devil. But the scripture says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. He who hopes in the Lord will never be disappointed. If you got disappointment right now, I can tell you why you're disappointed. Your hope is in somebody other than Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Listen to this. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You believe that? Say amen. Because that's what's happening. That's what God wants us to. Don't change your hope. Glory. We're almost there. John chapter 1, verse 38, 39. We must never lower our standard to extend out our reach. And Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" This is the part that will get you. And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. That was about the 10th hour. That is an invitation that you are licensed to extend to people who want to know about the Jesus you serve. Now, come and see doesn't always mean drag them to church. You hear what I said? Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee with me? When we have our break, meet me in the break room. Let me just kind of tell you about Jesus. Don't get so one-way focused. Come and see is an invitation. And the transparency that Jesus shows, he says, come see how I live. Come to the place where I'm staying. I said, Jesus was pretty confident because, you know, he wasn't staying in his own house. Isn't that amazing? You have somebody as a guest, they invite folks over. Isn't that exciting? Woo, yeah. Some of you just, oh, you didn't call before. Oh, my house is a mess. Or whatever. You'll live. We must allow people to declare what they're truly seeking after in Jesus. And some people want relief from their problems without making a commitment to change anything. I need to tell you that ahead of time. Some people want a sense of belonging and community to feel included. Just give me some reasons why people will come and see. But people want relief from the burden of trying to perform and meet perceived expectations. A few things that we can resolve before we close today. Discipleship begins with an invitation into our lives on a level of fellowship. Can you allow somebody else to come into your world, or are you too embarrassed about the way you live? Well, the early church, the whole foundation of it was where they had meals together and they'd fellowship together around the word of God. Also, they're willing to open up their lives and establish community and connection. But Jesus is the center and the focus of everything that is around us. And if he's not the center of everything around you, what are you doing? If you're doing or saying things where Jesus can't come, why are you doing that stuff? Well, I just got to have some time for me. Yeah, that's what got you in trouble the last time. Your me time. Yeah. He's the center of knowledge, all truth. But the cool thing about it is that we must come to the understanding that Jesus is more than someone who does good things or is good to us. You know, I love the terminology, God is good all the time. But you know what? It lacks some potency. Only God is good. And if you compare goodness to things that you like, you've missed it. Because that's not what it means. Well, verse 45 and 46, I'm going to close with those. In John 45, verse 45 and 46. I'm racing ahead. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathan said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I want to take you to the courtroom of debate of people that will try to get in your face and say, you know, hallucination. It's not true. This is made up. There's no credence to what you're saying. The thought process is this. As a disciple of Jesus, we were made to reflect the image and character of God, which means this. And here's some things I hope you will never forget. Number one, God did not have to make us. Ever think back that far? Do you think God was bored with it? I think I'll make some strange things like people. That'd be a lot of fun. See them squirm and do all kinds of stupid stuff. That'd be exciting. God didn't have to make us. Number two, God did not make a mistake when he made us. Can you handle one more? Jesus has taken notice of us even when we're unaware of his presence. And he planned us, made us, and put us right here. Worship team, come back here. Here's a finish in touch. Come and see is an open invitation that we extend to everyone to experience Jesus. It means this. As his disciples, we're constantly seeking those who need to get to know him. We're committed to his command to make more disciples. And we're assured of his constant presence abiding in us no matter what. Now here's a big deal. There are people in this room today that came here for the express purpose to know Jesus. He said, what? I thought everybody's Christian here. No, they're not. But that's not an indictment. It's an invitation. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody. Those of you that are intercessors, I want you to start praying right now because this is the time when the devil gets busy. And he tries to talk people out of, if you can just make it another 5 or 10 minutes, it'll be okay. No, it won't. You'll be in the same chaos you were when you walked through those doors. There's a simple little song we're going to sing in a moment. It simply says, as Jesus is here, everything I need is here. Before we sing it, I want to speak a blessing, and I want to speak an invitation over the lives of people that are here that need to make a change today. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people who have navigated problems and situations or even came via invitation to this particular place and need more than anything else to know that you love them. Lord, looking for meaning and looking for purpose, it seems like it's an endless struggle because we try to find you, but the only thing it equates to is pain and disappointment of things we haven't done well. Lord, I pray for people here today that need to turn their life over to you. I pray for people today that need to reconnect with you, that in these next few moments, they'll do that very thing. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, if you're here today and you need to connect with Jesus, or reconnect with Jesus, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, I need to do that right now. Not going to wait on anybody. Just lift up high where I can see it. God bless you. Yeah. Anybody else? Because this is the time to do it. You say, well, I don't know. But no, this is time to do that. Everyone stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song, Jesus is Here. Don't wait for your friend to come. Don't wait for anybody else to come. But this altar is open right now for people who need to reconnect with God or connect with him for the very first time. Don't wait for your friend to come. You come. Let Jesus do it in you.
Jesus is here.
Just step out now, everything.
Everything I need.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.